Guys, if you will, turn to Psalm 23. And if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and someone will bring you one. I hope you have a pair of glasses because the print's really small. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we're going to get back to this psalm in a minute. But we need to kind of cover some ground where we were at last week. We've been looking at the prophecy of Christ in Isaiah chapter 9. See, the Assyrians are coming upon the people of Israel. It's doom and gloom. And then Isaiah looks almost 800 years down the line and the Lord opens up this wonderful prophecy, which is truly what we celebrate at Christmas. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder. His name is Wonderful. He's a Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this. A child is born, speaks of Jesus' humanity. A son is given, speaks of Jesus' deity. And the government on His shoulders speaks of His sovereignty. I read this last week. It was from Gail Irwin. It was just talking about the government that Jesus is running. Whenever I see a loving Christian gently caring for orphans and those rejected by family, I know I'm watching people governed by God. Whenever I see people eagerly learning the Bible and joyously praising, I know who the governor is. Whenever I see people give up lucrative careers simply to go and share the good news of Jesus, I know they're governed by God. When I see pastors carefully teach and lead the flock God has given them, I know they're getting their signals from the great King. When I see people leave family to live and to teach in distant lands because they love the people who have not heard, I know they're governed by God. So indeed, the government is alive and working, often silently, mostly unseen. We can be and are by choice governed by God. Hope and joy and peace and rest covers its subjects. Justice, mercy and grace and amazingly coexist. I like this kingdom. The borders are open. Come on in. But remember also, before Isaiah ever penned this prophecy, back in Isaiah chapter 6, he went to the church for the first time and he saw the King. And who he saw was this King who was on this throne, and it was a high and lifted up. It was an amazing sight. I want us to know, I don't know how this last year has played out for us. I don't know anxieties about the year that is before us. But I want to encourage everyone here, that baby that was born in a manger is firmly seated upon His throne and He's governing. He's high. He's lifted up. The train of His robe is filling the temple even as we speak right now. The seraphims are crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And then the doorposts are shaking. Jesus is alive and Jesus is well and Jesus is coming back. He's governing. See, Christmas, let's remember the baby that was born in a manger is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's seated firmly upon His throne. But before we look how this King right now is governing our lives and how He's going to govern our lives and why He's governing our lives, I want you to listen to this old Puritan prayer. Heaven-born faith gives promise to eternal sight. My new birth, a pledge of never-ending life. I draw near to Thee, knowing Thou wilt draw near to me. I ask Thee, believing Thou hast already given. I entrust myself to Thee, for Thou hast redeemed me. And bless and adore Thee, the eternal God, for the comfort of these thoughts, the joy of these hopes. There's one part of the Christmas story that all of us know, is that an angel appeared to who? A group of shepherds, right? And you remember the scene, they're just kind of tending their sheep, they're just kind of doing their business, and all of a sudden this angel breaks forth, and then the heavens break forth. And then they say, hey, there's a King that's been born, right? But there's one part of that story I think we forget sometimes. that our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is also our great shepherd, and He shepherds His people. So you may be asking yourself, I don't see God really governing. I don't see God really working. I want us to look at this very familiar psalm this morning and get a very good understanding that indeed our great King shepherds His people with such great care and such delight. And let that set on your heart just for a moment. Let it sink in just for a moment that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am is leading and guiding and shepherding. You know, if you look at the news, there's you can get a little wigged out. You read the newspaper, you can get a little wigged out. You drive down the road, you can get a little wigged out. But I want you to know, if you're in Christ today, in other words, you're saved today, you've made a heart decision for Jesus today, He will carry every one of us all the way through. So let's look at this psalm, a psalm of David. King David, as most of us know, was a shepherd when he was younger. Some scholars believe he penned this psalm when he was a king. He was looking back over the days when he was a shepherd. And then all of a sudden, I guess the Lord just kind of gave this to him as he's meditating and spending time with the Lord. He just does this comparison because he remembers what it was like to shepherd sheep and the different things that were involved in all that. And he's just like, hey, that's what the Lord's done for me. You look at David's life, there was a lot of ups, there was a lot of downs, but there was one constant in David's life, and that was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, shepherding him and guiding him, taking care of him. No doubt the thought that the Lord is the shepherd of His people brought great comfort to David. Does it bring great comfort to you today? Or is it just kind of an abstract thought, something that's just kind of in the Bible, just one of those little stories? Or is it really a reality? God's like, you know what? I'm shepherding you. I'm watching over you. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Our Lord sustains us with such great care. David writes, the Lord is my shepherd. What a wonderful and comforting thought to have. The King of Kings is my shepherd. David knew this in a personal sense. The Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord is just Stephen Shepherd or Fred Shepherd or Joan and Carl Shepherd, but my shepherd. Not that He's just the world. He's my shepherd. He knew this on a personal level. That means what? He had a personal relationship with Him. Let me ask you today, is He my shepherd? Okay? Can we say the same thing? Spurgeon said this, the sweetest word of the whole is the monosyllable mile. Monosyllable my. He does not say the Lord is the shepherd of the world at large and leadeth forth the multitude as a flock, but the Lord is my shepherd. If He be a shepherd to no one else, He be a shepherd to me. He cares for me. He watches over me, and He preserves me. Man, what a warming thought to think of. Who gets scared? Don't lie. We all get scared, don't we? The Lord is my shepherd. Can we say that? He's my shepherd. Here's the deal. Before we can have this comfort of knowing that the Lord is my shepherd, we need to come to the place where we know we're sheep. Did you ever think of that? Not all of us wants to be a sheep. I mean, I don't particularly want to be a sheep. If my son ever participates in any type of sports, I get aggressive like a sheep. You know, I'm not going to be saying that, you know. Go get him like a sheep, you know. You know, we want to think your thoughts of being lions or horses or gorillas, elephants, sharks. I mean, you know, something exotic, but a sheep? See, we're helpless sheep who need a shepherd. That's the point. But do we live that way? Here's David. Understand this. The king of the land. The most powerful man in the land. We're talking the giant killer. Okay? We're talking a warrior. And he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He's also implying what? I am a sheep. That's who I am. You know what? I need you, Lord. I'm helpless without you, Lord. He understood he was a sheep. I love Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. And Paul penned to the church at Philippi, not that I speak in regard to need, for I learn whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I've learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which brings us really to the second part of this verse. I shall not be in want. See, isn't that just a wonderful thought? The Lord is my shepherd. He's taking care of me. He has personal interest in me. And He's going to meet every one of my needs. I shall not be in want. What's your question? How many of us was in want this week? I mean, it's so easy to find. You know, I'd like to say, oh, I've not been that way this week. You know, I got some kind of stomach bug. It's funny when you get some little bug or something, you know, and it's just, you feel miserable, your body's aching. I was in a lot of want. Lord, I want to be able to hold down some groceries. I want to be able to get up. I want to not have a fever, Lord. Instead of, you know what, the Lord's my shepherd. He knows exactly what's going on. I just need to chill out. There's nothing I can do about it. It's going to have to run its course anyway. Why don't I just enjoy the Lord during this time? Let me ask you a question. What have you been in want about this week? See, the cool thing is when we live in regards to the fact that, okay, I'm just a helpless sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Then you know what? He's really all I want. He's going to take care of me. Notice verse 2. And this is just wonderful. Okay, this is wonderful. I know that all of us are familiar with the song. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He brings us to a place of rest and peace, of comfort and care. Notice what David says. He says he makes me lie down. You know, sometimes when God has something for us and He's leading and He's guiding, we don't necessarily think it's going to be a place of peace and rest. We kick against the goads. We're like a horse or an unbroke mule with a bit in our mouth, not wanting to go there. But He knows exactly where we need to go. He knows exactly where He needs to lead us, and He knows exactly where we need to be laying down. Our shepherd knows when we need rest. It's kind of like a parent that has a toddler. A toddler's not aware of the fact that they need rest, right? They get whiny, they get cranky, they get, well, you know, I hope you know, I hope you remember. I don't think I'm ever going to forget, to be honest with you. I don't, every day. Jonathan's routine is 6:30, you go to bed. Every day. That's what you do. Every day. And every day it's the same conversation. I don't want to go to bed. I don't want... Dude, that's why you need to go to bed right there. That right there, what you're manifesting right there, you all knotted up about it, that's why you need to go to bed. He's cranky. He's wore out. He's had a long day. As a parent, you know, you have to go make them lie down because you know that they need rest. And how many times have we bucked at God, my shepherd, when He's brought us to a place where He's like, you know what, you need to lay down. Sometimes the best thing that can ever happen is to get a stomach bug or get the flu or get something and we're flat on our back. And we start to reprioritize things. Listen to what this guy said. This is really neat. It's a little information about sheep from this guy named Philip Keller. Sheep do not lie down easily unless four conditions are met. Because they're timid, they will not lie down if they're afraid. Because they're social animals, they will not lie down if there's friction among the sheep. If flies or parasites trouble them, they will not lie down. Finally, if sheep are anxious about food or hungry, they will not lie down. Rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with the fear, the friction, the flies, the famine. See, when the Lord is my shepherd, we need to understand we are His sheep. And we don't really know what we need, but our Lord does. I don't know why we buck against God. Well, I do, because we want our will. We want to do what we want to do. Instead of, you know, some of the greatest blessings that could ever be had and is probably found in that in which we think was useless. You ever think about that just for a minute? Oh, that's a waste of time. We're like Nathaniel. Oh, what good could come out of Nazareth? Jesus. He makes us lie down. He knows what's the best. Now look at verse 3. I think this is just absolutely wonderful as I've meditated on this thing. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Here's why the shepherd leads us to a place of rest to restore. Restoration's a beautiful thing when God restores. I want to ask you a question. Most of us, when we think of regards to restoration, I think as a whole, we think of maybe someone who has an addiction problem, maybe someone who is bankrupt, maybe someone who has just had this tragic or whatever thing. You know, I think one of the worst things that I never want to hear my son say to justify his behavior, he's building a testimony. I don't want to hear that. That's just kind of dumb. You hear people say that, though. I'm going to go do what I'm going to go do and buck the system and rebel because I'm building just this wonderful testimony. I've heard people say that. I think that's just incredibly, well, not smart, you know. But I guarantee you in this room, there's folks that are not, they're not aware of the fact they need restoration. There's something in their heart that they can't get at. They can't really put their finger on it. They don't really know. They just know that it's there. It's not necessarily maybe a sin problem or something of that nature. They just know that there's something there that they can't get to or can't get at. And they're not even aware of the fact that, you know what, they need some restoration. That the Lord is wanting to restore. It's such a beautiful thing. Is that not just kind of a theme throughout the whole Bible? If you read through the Bible, how the Lord restores and does wonderful things. Notice when the shepherd leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, not only does He shepherd and want to restore, but He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness. Okay? Righteousness. What good is it restoring if we continue down the same path before? It's not very good, is it? But the path He leads us down is paths of righteousness. You know, good moral conduct, right? And remember this, at the end of the day, we can trust where our shepherd is leading because for His name's sake. His name represents His character. And think about this as well. When the enemy is accusing and accusing and accusing, the Lord says, "That's my kid." He takes ownership. You know, no one else in this room can say, "Jonathan is my son. Abigail is my daughter. I take ownership over them because they're my kids." They carry my name too, don't they? They're my kids. I want to ask you a question. Is the Lord, you know, my shepherd for you this morning? And I've been asking myself these questions as I've been looking at this and meditating on this thing, thinking about how I've bucked the system when He's wanted to make me lie down in nice green pastures and lead me beside still waters just to a place of rest and tranquility. And the point of the whole thing was He wanted to do some restoration in my soul. There were some things in my heart that needed to be restored. There were some things in my heart that He was wanting to renew. See, maybe you're there today. I just want to encourage you to lie down. Just let Him, just lie down. And just enjoy that place. Lie down in the fact that, you know what, that the Lord's saying, you know what, you're mine. And I got such an investment here in you. I care so much for you. I've brought you to this place. I just want you to rest. See, following our shepherd is a wonderful gift. He will take care of us no matter what trial we may face. Look at verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." There are green pastures in life. There are places of beauty, still waters, places of tranquility, but there's also darkness, places that are kind of scary. And my shepherd can lead through these places. See, if we live long enough, we'll find ourselves going through this place. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." We'll find ourselves in that. It's a scary place to be. The valley's not the mountaintop, but the valley. Matter of fact, the valley sometimes seems like the shadow of death. Not literal death, but just the shadow of death. Listen to what David Guzik said. "Near death, the saint still calmly walks. He does not need to quicken his pace in alarm or panic. Near death, the saint does not walk in the valley, but through the valley." Life is full of twists and turns. We don't know how tomorrow's going to play out. Matter of fact, we don't know how the next hour is necessarily going to play out. Sometimes things don't finish like we wish they would finish. I think all of us, who's been disappointed? We've all been disappointed. I mean, we've all had stuff happen, right? But here's the beauty of the thing. The Lord will carry us through, walk us through, take us through that shadow, take us through that dark place. We don't have to fear evil. Who's scared of evil? It's a scary thing. Why do you think, and think about this just for a moment, why is our society obsessed with crime shows? I mean, think about that just for a moment. Think about why our country feels the need to do in-depth studies in serial killers or whatever, and do documentaries and write books and this and that. You know, when Ted Bundy was a celebrity of sorts, why? Trying to figure out what makes them tick. Well, why are they doing what they're doing? Well, sin. I mean, that's a simple solution to the whole thing, is it not? Evil's a scary thing. Man, you look at what's going on overseas and you see evil. You look at, to some extent, what you see is going on in our culture, and it looks radically evil. It's a scary thing. But here's the thing. If the Lord is my shepherd, He's going to carry me through this thing. He's going to watch over me. He's going to protect me. He's going to take really good care of me. Look at verse 4. Here's why we can... Then think about this. When I was... I've never been scared of the dark, okay? Never. That's just not been one of my phobias. I've been scared of, you know, other things I'm trying to think of. Roast, maybe. I don't know. I mean, there's something... I mean, we're all scared of something. But being scared of the dark, I've never been scared of the dark. I went coon hunting in the dark, in the middle of nowhere. I mean, that's just never been something that I've been scared of. But normally when we find ourselves in a dark place, do we just kind of casually walk through or do we run? We run. The psalmist says, you know what? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Well, just walk through. My son's not really necessarily scared of the dark, but I do believe that if he was left outside, he'd be freaked out just a little bit. I think, I hope. I hope he'd run back to the house and not just venture off. I do know this, every night when it's warm, he wants to see the stars, and I put him on my shoulder. He's not scared of anything. Why? Because he's with his dad. It's not like his dad's an imposing figure, but he knows his dad. What are you scared of today? What's freaking you out today? Where's God maybe been leading today that's just kind of unsettled? See, we don't have to fear. We can walk through the dark places because the Lord's my shepherd. I'll fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff, and comfort me. Now, studying this, some scholars believe that this is one instrument. Other scholars believe there's two instruments. I kind of go with the two instruments because some shepherds carried this rod, this little short thing in their belt, and then, you know, the staff, which was for walking, but it was also for, you know, grabbing sheep and fending off. But the rod was also for defense as well. Sometimes if a sheep would continually wander off, the shepherd would break the leg and then mend the leg, okay? And then carry that sheep until it could walk again. And then that sheep would always stay by the shepherd. It would never wander off again. God uses both the rod and the staff in all of our lives. Sometimes the rod of correction. But most of the time in my life, at least I believe I've seen His staff is comforting and His staff is guiding. How many times has the Lord pulled us out of something? And we're like, wow, God, I'm so glad You pulled me out of that situation. I didn't even realize it. I didn't even realize it was a dangerous situation. but He took such great care in protecting and watching over us. I love Hebrews 12, verse 11. No chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful nonetheless. Afterward, it yields a piece of fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline and protection both can be comforting. I've never disciplined my son and then have nothing else to do with him the rest of the day. If we discipline him, we let that settle, and then we let him know that we love him, we care for him greatly. And I'm not telling you guys anything that you probably haven't done as well as parents. God doesn't just discipline us and then just kind of shove us aside and treat us horribly, does He? He comforts. How many times has the Lord in His grace and His mercy decided to do a breaking? We were headed in a direction we didn't need to go. We were doing something we didn't need to go. We knew it was we may not necessarily even realize how dangerous of a situation that it is. Because when you're walking in the valley in the shadow of death, you know, it would make sense to stay as close as possible. But how many times do we kind of wonder a little bit? And if we're prone to wonder, and we're continually wondering, He does some breaking. But He also does some mending, doesn't He? He also does some caring, doesn't He? He also, I've never had the Lord pry my hands from something and do a breaking in my heart that did not make me walk closer with Him, and I wasn't bummed out by it. It was painful at the time. I'm not going to deny that. It was painful, it was heart-wrenching, and it was hard. But at the end of the day, I knew that the Lord loved me. I knew that the Lord cared for me. And I was in a different place with the Lord afterwards. And I learned something. So we're looking at this wonderful psalm, how the Lord is the shepherd, how He is governing our lives right now. And as we're going towards Christmas and as we're celebrating Christmas, I pray that the Lord would just really speak these things to us. It wouldn't be. They're having fun. Yeah, he did. I don't know what they're doing back there. They may have Stephen hog-tied up. Can you see Stephen? You know, kind of all... He would probably like that, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it would be kind of funny to see him all gagged back there, you know, gray tape to a chair. Trisha, you want to just leave him there if he's there all day? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Take pictures, you know, whatever. But, you know, as we're just kind of, as we're walking through life, I just pray that the reality is, if the Lord is my shepherd, we're walking with Him. He's taking care of us. He's watching over us. What good is Christmas? What good is Christmas if it does not warm our hearts with thoughts of this baby that was born in a manger would end up upon a cross, buried in a tomb, resurrected and coming back? What good is Christmas if it doesn't motivate us for that? If we don't start reflecting back on the fact that God in His grace and His mercy sent His one and only Son, His precious little baby, that Jesus would come as a baby in a manger, the most helpless being on the planet. If it doesn't generate thoughts of how much God cares for us and loves us. How comforting is it to know that this great King is also an incredible shepherd and He cares so much. All right, that's why we're doing what we're doing this morning. A, God told us to. And B, I believe that all of us need to hear this morning. It should warm our hearts a bit. See, the blessing for the present and the blessing for the future, look at verses 5 through 6. Two things to think about today, no matter what may be going on in our lives. Maybe right now our life is green pastures and still water. Or maybe our life feels like walking through the valley. At the end of the day, oh man, I missed something just great. I'm sorry. Not only this, look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now get this. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Table suggests a bounty. You know, this is this big table. Okay, he didn't just, you know, when you're kind of out and about and you're out in the wilderness and you're out camping. Did you prepare this big table? Okay. No. But this is what he's doing. He's preparing this incredible table. It suggests a bounty. He suggests foresight and care. Okay. Before suggests personal connection. Here's the point. Don't be rattled by the enemies at our door. Instead, enjoy the banquet the shepherd has set before us all. The table has been set. The food's been prepared. Sit down, enjoy, and eat. Read the Bible. It's a feast to be waiting to be had. And believe the Lord has something prepared every day if we would just sit at His table. Think about that just for a moment. How many times we say, I don't have time to spend time with the Lord. Or we're too rattled by our thoughts of what's going on. I don't have time for that. The Lord's saying, I want you to understand something. Don't worry about the circumstances. Understand I prepared this table. Understand that I care so much. There's a banquet waiting. Don't worry about the enemies outside the door. The Lord's not in a hurry. Why should we be? Spurgeon said this, when a soldier is in the presence of his enemies, if he eats at all, he snatches a hasty meal. Away he hastens to the fight. But observe, thou preparest a table, just as a servant does when she unfolds the cloth and displays the ornaments of a feast on an ordinary, peaceful occasion. Nothing is hurried. There's no confusion, no disturbance. The enemy is at the door, yet God prepares a table. The Christian sits down and eats. If everything were in perfect peace, that's what my shepherd does for me. I am so settled. I am so confident that I'm not going to worry about what's knocking at my door because he's so good. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Another tool in the shepherd's bag, okay, was the pouch of oil he carried, and he would apply it to the sheep's head. He would apply it around their eyes to keep flies from buzzing and ticks, and he'd apply it to their ears to keep ticks and flies, and also he'd apply it to the oil because, you know, sheep do what? They butt heads, right? And if you butt head, it gets a little raw, and he would anoint that. Let me ask you a question. What's bugging you? Maybe the solution is to allow the Lord to apply the Holy Spirit. You know, normally what bugs us is what? People. You know? The solution is to allow the Lord to apply the ointment, the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, I need more of the Holy Spirit because right now I'm just operating in the flesh. What's so hard about saying that and really meaning it? Lord, forgive me. I'm sinning against you, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Because flies are irritating when they buzz your eyes and when they buzz your ears. And, well, I don't know if you've ever had ticks, but they're not the greatest either. And butting heads with people is not the most enjoyable thing to do. People that enjoy that, I really wonder about them. Why? What's the point? How many times within fellowships, that's what you get, flies and ticks and butting heads. My shepherd, he cares. And you know what? Here's the thing. I think we forget this sometime. The shepherd cares for every one of those sheep. Every one of them. Not just me. I mean, dude, we forget that sometimes. I do. Despite the dangers about, the shepherd takes time to apply the oil so we can see and hear. It's hard to see with ticks all around the eyes. It's hard to hear with ticks all around the ears. When we sit at the Lord's table, He feeds us, He anoints us with oil, and our cups are overflowing. Think about that. Every one of us in here has been blessed abundantly. Sometimes we just don't realize and we don't take time to stop and just think. Should that not what Christmas do? Motivate us to stop and think? When we're having being around our families, maybe it's some special thing that someone had purchased for us. There was a lot of thought put into it. Maybe it was just a good meal, good conversation. To think back and reflect back that, wow, my cup is truly full. God, you've been so good. You've carried us thus far. My shepherd also has the future covered. Notice this. Notice who's following. Okay, did you see the progression of the psalm? David declares, the Lord's my shepherd. He declares he's making me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He's restoring my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And then he goes on to describe the second part, which, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for I fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod, your staff, you comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you notice in verse 6 the enemies are not mentioned again? You notice in verse 6 the enemies evidently are not following. You notice in verse 6 what is following? Surely. Surely means what? Sure. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I think that's the bookends of grace. God's goodness and His mercy. Who's in need of both of those? Man, I am. Who winces over mistakes that have been made? Man, I do. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Ah, Lord. Oh, man. Man, we need goodness and we need mercy. The bookends of grace. They follow me, what? Not just for today. Not yesterday. Not a year ago. Not 10 years ago. But David says, all the days of my life, surely goodness and mercy follow me. Not my enemies. You know, we spend way too much time focusing on enemies instead of just focusing on the Lord. Spend way too much time swatting the flies, pulling the ticks, rubbing the head, instead of focusing on the Lord and enjoying the Lord. See, God wants to bless His kids every day. And now, I'm not talking about dropping $1 million. All right? Now, that's not, He may, you know, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that He just wants to bless. Bless with His presence. Blessed with His love, blessed with His grace, His mercy. He just wants to bless. Blessings are abounding all around us all the time. The sun rising, the sun setting. You ever been out working and sweating? And then a cool breeze, if Fred knows, a cool breeze blows. You get this condensation on your face. And then what happens? That cool breeze blows. And what does it do? It cools you off. Air conditioning, heating. I mean, I could go on and on and on with how the Lord wants to bless. Good conversations, good books. He wants to bless. He wants to bless. And I will dwell. He gets us to His destination. The shepherd will finish what He started in all of our lives on this journey. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, there's such security when the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, see, if you're in Christ today, in other words, you've made that profession of faith, you've made that heart decision, yes, I understand, I've got a sin problem, Lord Jesus, would you just please come inside my heart, forgive me, and we repent and turn. There's so much security in that. There's so much security in the fact that no matter what transpires tomorrow, I know that I'm going to go home and be with the Lord. It gets no better than that. Absolutely no better than that. So in closing, what does all this have to do with Christmas? Well, I hope everything. I hope everything. Isaiah looked down the corridors of time, and the Lord gave him this vision. Things look bleak. Things look bad for the people of Israel. The Assyrians are coming. Judgment is coming. And God says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon His shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, over His kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." The baby grew up, went to a cross, and laid down His life for us. He is the good shepherd. John 10:11. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives His life for His sheep. He's not a hireling. He's not a hireling. He has personal interest in all of us. So as we're going to celebrate communion this morning, I just pray that the Lord's warmed all of our hearts. How much care He has, how much love He has. Maybe some things have freaked us out a bit. And the Lord has just calmed us down. He's made us lay down. And He just wants us to understand. Maybe it is a valley in the shadow of a death situation. The Lord's saying, I want you to just stay next to me. Let's just walk through this. At the end of the day, I've prepared this table for you. It's a banquet. Don't worry about the enemy at the door. Allow me to anoint your head with oil. Allow me to fill your cup. Hey, and understand this. Your enemies are not going to be following anymore. But what is going to be following? Surely goodness and mercy. We will get to where we're going. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Allow these things to just permeate our hearts, okay? Before we celebrate communion this morning. 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 Before we celebrate communion this morning.